You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
So we were like, we need to put Bob somehow into the album art, because it was also really hard to create memes out of the previous album art, because it's just like these animals killing each other. So we're like, if we add Bob to the album art again, we can create memes out of him. And then we added him to the album art and started making some memes. And one night we just got the idea, we were like, what if Bob just started invading other album covers? And, you know, stealing things from people and doing all kinds of crazy things. And we're like, yeah, we can just make him, like, you know, his own page. And Facebook also has this new algorithm now where, like, the bands can, like, comment on each other's pages and everybody sees it, or, like, and it was never like that in the past. So I saw other bands just using it to, like, you know, send each other love. And we were like, no, we have to bring memes into this in some way. And that's pretty much how it kicked off.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I've been having a glorious week so far. I most certainly have been. Before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'd also like you to tell a friend about the podcast. If you have someone in your life that loves metal and craft beer, well, then you should absolutely talk to them about Vox and Hops. You can tell them that there are over 290 episodes with some of the world's biggest metal musicians available for them to listen to. If you were to encourage someone to become a future Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode, I'm with Duncan Bentley of Vulvodynia, and this episode was recorded during last week's Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 292.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Duncan Bentley of Vulvodynia, Sinners, and a band name that's far too long for me to pronounce. How are you doing, Duncan?
Oh, I'm doing amazing, man. It's really good to be here. Like, it's so good.
It makes me very happy to be with you. You have accomplished something very unique throughout the past few months. You are probably the most exciting extreme metal band on the internet. I'm in awe of what you've created. We're going to cover that. But first, I would like to talk about how did you cope with the glorious year that is now behind us of 2020 into the lingering, now we're halfway through 2021. How did you cope with the time at home?
Yeah. No, it felt like we were thrown into the dark ages, because like the whole of 2020 as well, like alcohol was actually banned in South Africa.
Really?
For like most of 2020. Yeah, so like it was like we were back in the prohibition days, and like people were selling alcohol, like, you know, under the radar, like for really expensive prices, and like, yeah, just to get a beer, man, it was like triple the cost. So yeah, it was kind of hectic. But finally, we've got alcohol back and we can have our beer and stuff. And, you know, it gave us time to just sit down and, like, write a new awesome album. Like, it's, like, the first time we've actually gotten to, like, write an album together as a band, whereas the previous albums were all written, like, in our studio, you know, bedrooms separately, and, like, emailed to each other and sent off to producers and whatnot. So, yeah, just it gave us time away from touring just to focus on a rad album.
That's incredible. I definitely want to go back and touch on this. Why was there a new liquor band? Was it because of the pandemic and everyone was at home, or was it just a happenstance that it happened in 2020?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just associated alcohol, and it was actually a cigarette ban as well. They associated both with people just like partying and not obeying the lockdown laws. So they're like, okay, if we take away alcohol, then people will maybe obey the lockdown laws. But it just like, you know, it went underground. And people just started, yeah, charging whatever they wanted to for it. And yeah, it got quite brutal.
That sounds brutal. I was worried at first when it happened here in Canada, but they made liquor an essential service. And that made me very happy because it is essential, at least to me.
Yeah. I don't know how they expect you to cope with lockdown if you can't have a beer.
Incredible. incredible. I am also interested writing a record with the full band for the first time. What was different versus everyone working on their own? How did that affect the creative process of this new record?
Like, it was just so rad as well, because all our previous albums were all, like, programmed drums, and, like, this was the first time as well that we got to send our drummer Tom into studio and record real drums, and also just being able to bounce ideas off of each other. Like, when I used to record vocals on my own, like, I'd write the lyrics and go into it and, like, you know what I mean, not have anybody else to bounce ideas off of, whereas now we could all write the lyrics together as a band and be like, no, we think we should change this and this should happen and whatnot. And we got to do that with everything, even the riffs and, like, the drums and every aspect of the album. So it's just rad to be able to bounce ideas off of each other and finally work together because, yeah, it's just... working together on this album has shown us that it's like what we need to do on future albums. We can't be, you know, like just writing on our own in our studios and bouncing ideas off of each other like that. We have to meet up and take that 6 months off of touring to just, you know, write something awesome.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, what beer are you going to be drinking tonight, virtually sharing with us the Thirsty Thursday gang? Because this episode is being recorded live at a Thirsty Thursday virtual hang.
Yeah. Like, okay, so I'm drinking Black Label, Jesus Carly Christ. Black Label. And this is my favorite. This is my favorite local beer. Yeah, I know you get it in some other countries with different names, but yeah, I love this one so much, dude. This is like my favorite. This side, and then I've also got some Lion Lager. This is also like a South African one here. Cool. And this one's like super cheap and cost effective. And then at the back behind me, yeah, got Hansa, which is actually like a Czech beer. Which I also enjoy that we get here. It's like also very popular this side. And then also got Vintuk Lager. This is from Namibia. It's also one of my favorites this side. And one more on this side. I've got Castle Lager. And this is, yeah, another one. I think you get it worldwide as well, but it started off in Joburg, in Johannesburg, amazing. South Africa. So yeah, I've got a few beers, yeah, but I just decided to get like five of the most popular beers that you can get in store, yeah.
Amazing. I love that you have the Black Label, Carling. We got Dan immediately put into the chat. That was the first beer he had when he was 7 and he puked. So I would vote that you start with that and then with Dan, who's a part of the Vox and Hops Metal Review crew. On my side, I have a very strange beer that I've been wanting to tackle, but it's a complex beer. It's a complex experiment.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it in a video form, so what better way to do it this way? This is from A l'Affût, and it's basically, it comes in this little package here, which I've dismantled and torn apart. It's their Chairiff, which is basically sheriff. A l'Affût is always like cowboy themed. It comes from a city called Saint-Tite in Quebec. So this is two beers. And the purpose of these two beers is that you have to mix them together. And you mix them together in the quantities that you see fit. So you can make your own blended version. So this is basically a creek base.
Well, that's
so it's a
crazy.
Very tart brew. And it says on it, do not drink it alone. But I will, just so you guys can see my face. And this is their Cousure Framboise, which is a sour saison with raspberries. This is 5.4%. The other one is 5%, if I remember. I'm going to pour this out. I have my classic Vox and Hops glasses going here. I have a shooter with a 2-ounce shooter, so I'm going to go 50-50 to start to see how that tastes. But first, I'll taste them alone just to see how that goes. I'll start with the one that I'm supposed to drink, which is the Cousure Framboise.
It's fancy.
It just smells delicious. Smells like delicious raspberries. Cheers to you.
Mm-mm-mm. Cheers.
Fantastic on its own. Absolutely delicious. Let's see this one that I'm not supposed to drink on its own, because I don't like, you know, we're metal. We don't listen to rules, right? It's a Crico. It's a cherry griot. The Ceres griot, which are wild cherries aged in oak. It's very tart. Very, very tart. So let's do a 50-50. Cheers to all the Thirsty Thursday gang that's here with us tonight.
Woo! Fuck yeah, guys.
Okay, well, 50-50 is nice. I'm gonna sip on that, and I'm gonna throw out, as I'm going through the interview, I'm gonna keep doing different blends.
Yeah, like one more thing. This the black label in South Africa, we call it Zamalek.
Zamalek.
Like that's it. Yeah, that's its nickname. Like it's so popular. Yeah, it's like probably the number one beer. Everybody has it. That's so weird. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely one of the first beers for many Canadians. So I think that's very interesting. Let's talk about beer. That. Well, let's talk about your first beer. Do you remember the first beer that you ever drank, Duncan?
Yeah, it was probably a Castle, like that last beer that I showed you guys there. I still remember, like, it was in the fridge, and, like, I saw it, and I was just like, oh, should I? And I drank it, and, like, I remember my parents came home, and they immediately knew that I was drunk, and I drank my dad's beer stash, so I was in quite a lot of trouble.
How about craft beer? Has craft beer come into South Africa? Is there a craft beer scene on the level of the United States and everything else? Has it hit South Africa yet?
In my opinion, it's not on the level of like the US and other places. Like it's quite a small and niche thing here, especially where I am in Port Elizabeth. It's like quite a small city. But in Johannesburg and Cape Town, there are quite a few craft breweries that side. I know that our drummer Tom's been talking to a brewery in Cape Town. I actually can't remember the name at the moment. But yeah, so we actually want to do our own craft beer at some point, like a Volvadinho beer. We thought that would be quite rad. But there are a lot of artists that have beers at the moment. There's like this band called Fokkels Policica, which is like a punk band from this side that's been going since the 90s. And they have their own lager called Fokkels Lager.
I love it.
Which means like fuck off lager, yeah. And then we've got like Jack Black craft beer as well. And like, I don't know too many craft beers.
No stress whatsoever. There's never stress. The beer with Vox and Hops is just the icebreaker. It's something two friends just hanging out. There's no pretentiousness going on here. We're just friends hanging out, talking about our metal lives too. Which leads me to the soundtrack of your youth. When you're growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Like, the awesome thing was my dad was into all the old school, like, classic rock. So, like, yeah, Iron Maiden and fucking Metallica and Black Sabbath and AC/DC. And so I just grew up around that. And I guess as I grew older, I just wanted to progress to, you know, more brutal music. And when you discover more brutal music, then you just want to move on. Eventually you find like brutal death metal, and then it's like, yeah, no looking back.
What would have been the first band, the band that was yours that didn't come from anyone else, a band that you discovered, that you cherished, and then you started showing everyone?
It would probably be Obituary. Like,
really?
I remember back in like 2006, my sister was actually dating this dude, and he had like the entire Obituary discography on like a disc that he gave me. And I remember listening to it at first, and I was like, this is so heavy. And I blasted it, and my parents got really upset at me. And that made me just want to listen to it even more. And yeah, just like slowly rot by Obituary. Yeah. Just like, yeah, it changed it for me. And from there, I just wanted to find anything that was way more brutal. And it's just like, you know, never stopped.
That's incredible. I'm interested to hear about your first show, the first live music experience that you ever went to go witness.
Yeah. For me, it's probably going to be like, it was a local deathcore band called The Dead Will Tell. And there was another band opening up for them called Dean Crescent. And these were all bands back in like the MySpace era. And the thing about South Africa is we don't have a lot of bands this side, and like a lot of them don't want to really go in the brutal direction. So for me to go to that show and have that be the first show I went to was quite rad, because they were pioneers in like the heavy music scene in South Africa back in the day. So yeah, it was quite rad.
Very interesting. I'm also very interested in the South African scene. I know that, you know, being in Canada, I'm lucky that I'm from Montreal. The people from the prairies, Dan knows what I'm talking about. Tours don't come through as often as the States, as Europe. South Africa, it does not get many tours at all. Cryptopsy, it's one of the many places that I've never played, is South Africa.
Yeah, man. And it's like, I feel like it's so untouched. There's so many people that you could play to, you know what I mean? It's just like, a lot of bands don't think it's a viable option, but it really is. And now, since COVID, it's like, it's really sent us. Because the last band that I watched in South Africa was the Black Dahlia Murder. And wow. they had a ball, and it was at like quite a big festival with a ton of people. And yeah, after COVID hits, I think that's not going to happen in South Africa for quite a while again, because all the new variants keep appearing from this side.
That is sad, but it will come back.
I think a few years, probably like 5 years or something like that, and then we'll start getting good shows again. It's just like, we need investors, people willing to pay, you know what I mean, and fork out the money to bring the bands over. And you might always be working at a loss or something like that. You never know. And that's happened to a lot of people that have brought bands over the side. And it's just like, you have to pay the bands, but then it's like, you end up going into debt. But it is a viable option on tour if you just play like three big festival shows in like Johannesburg, Cape Town, and like perhaps Durban or Pretoria. And you can really make it worth the while, like worth the trip, and just do cool touristy things in between, like go and check out the Big Five and lions and safari stuff.
It's a different world. I was interested, you know, being from Montreal, I knew that it was possible to become a rock star, to become a touring musician, to make music something a part of my reality. Being from South Africa, was that an option? I could go to my jam room, Cité 2000, and there was Despised Icon. There was Cryptopsy before I was in Cryptopsy. There was, you know, I'd cross Voivod every now and then. It was a reality. Yeah. What was that reality from South Africa? It's like, how do you decide to become a extreme musician and then accomplish that fact? But as a kid, was it ever like, this is going to happen?
Yeah, no, the thing is with South African bands, there's so many talented musicians and the thing is, a lot of them never break through and break out of South Africa, and then they end up just, you know, getting day jobs and stopping the music thing. And that was the thing with all the bands that I saw growing up and watching. So when we started Volvadinia, I wanted to just be that type of band that smaller bands in South Africa could look up to and realize that they can break through. Because it is, like, in South Africa, we're always taught that you can't be brutal or play brutal music and expect to do well with music, and we've proven all of them wrong, because like Volvadinia is doing better than like some rock bands and like rock artists or like, you know, commercial artists and bands in South Africa. So it's super rad, and we just want to be that influence and that like inspiration to the smaller bands. But there were a lot of artists that influenced us and that did breakthrough. There was like Groin Churn, for instance, from the 90s, like a super sick grind band from South Africa that hit the Europe scene and done really well. And then we had like the Dead Will Tell that I mentioned. They had done one Australian tour, so they did break out of South Africa, which was pretty rad. But we are like the first brutal band to just do it, you know, consecutively, like just keep going overseas over and over again.
So you're going to be that band, all these young bands that are starting now in South Africa, you are that band that's going to give them that fuel.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever smaller bands this side ask us, like, how do you guys do what you're doing? I'm so willing to just, you know, spill the beans on everything that we do, because I want to be able to help the African music scene and get it recognized worldwide with, you know, good music.
Fuck yeah, that's amazing. I'm going 75% the Cow Sur Framboise, 25% the Bows de Carrick. Let's see what this has got. Cheers.
Whoa!
The raspberries
sounds
are
strong,
popping.
Bro.
No, this is good. It's less Ding. Oaky. More, yes. The raspberries more kicking, of course. Delicious, amazing. Definitely interested about hearing your first time on stage. Do you remember your first show?
Yeah. My first time on stage was actually with a deathcore band called Shattered by Serpents. We have like a little two-track demo up online. And I joined the band back in like 2010, and we played at a festival called Peterfest in Bloemfontein, like a little town in South Africa. And it was just so rad. It was awesome.
So it went well. You were prepared. You were rehearsed enough.
Yeah. No, the thing is, I was actually in another, like a thrash band called Thunderkill. And I was in that band for like 3 years. And we had like 10 tracks and we were ready to go. And I was the only one going like, guys, we need to go and play a show. Like, we need to play live. And they just kept going like, no, we're not ready. We're not ready. That type of thing for like 3 years. So I watched that Shattered by Serpents band live. And I remember going up to them, and it's super cringy, but like I went up to their vocalist at that time, and I was like, dude, you got to check out my vocals. And like I'd done some vocals for the guy, and he was like blown away, and he liked the vocals, weirdly enough. And like a few weeks later, they hit me up, and like the vocalist moved to bass, and they just picked me up as wow. their new vocalist. And then I actually drove out to the show without telling the other band that I was in. And then the show got filmed and everything. And I remember straight after it got posted on Facebook and everything, the other band was just like, dude, what the fuck? You didn't tell us that you joined another band and you played a show. And I was like, you guys are waiting too long. Yeah, that's funny.
Let's talk about vocals. Why vocals? How did you become a vocalist? Why not another instrument? How did you progress? Lots of questions all at once right there.
Yeah, I started out with guitar originally, like back in like 2007 or something. And then I ended up like breaking my pinky.
Really?
I know it sounds so silly and so lame, but like I broke my pinky. And like,
what were you doing?
I was in a pit, actually. It was a mosh pit, but my finger was already stuffed from like sports injuries and stuff like that. And I was in a pit the one day, and I remember like I grabbed some dude and he went in the opposite direction. My finger got hooked in his t-shirt and it just like completely got fucked up. But yeah, after that happened, the doctors were just like, no, you're going to have to go through some sort of surgery to get your finger sorted. And it's all like fucked and swollen at the moment.
Yeah.
And I just ended up giving up guitar because of that. And I had so many friends playing guitar and they just progressed, you know, so much faster than I did. So I ended up giving that up. And I found out about brutal music and brutal vocals. And I started doing that and it just took over my life.
amazing. Who would have been what, like when discovering your vocals, what would have been that moment where it just clicked? Do you remember when something made sense to you and you unlocked, it's like getting like a secret passage in a video game, you know, you get a level up.
Yeah, like for me, because I started out also with inhale vocals and like
really?
I remember the first time, I started out with inhales. And I'd done inhales for like 3 years from like 2008 to like 2011. And it was after hearing like the Doom EP from Job for a Cowboy for the first time and hearing the pick skills on there. And I think a lot of vocalists started doing pick skills because of that. So I just, I started out with like these inhale pick skills. And it was actually crazy. I could do like inhale high vocals and like all kinds of stuff at one point. And then I discovered exhale vocals for the first time at like a show. And I was like, no way. I couldn't believe it because I thought all vocals were inhale. It was so silly. And after that, I started practicing exhale vocals. And I don't know. I was inspired by like a lot of the old school deathcore bands, which I started out on like deathcore and then I moved on to death metal and like brutal death metal after that. But it's so weird because, it was like Obituary. And then I found deathcore and it was just like, I immediately became like a deathcore kid.
Do you still use inhale screams now?
I actually now want to start incorporating it again because after watching like Archspire, for instance, and I've seen like Ollie, he can like vocal forever.
Exactly.
And it's because he can use inhales instead of breathing in. So like when you run out of breath, you just use some inhales to catch your breath again and you can just vocal forever.
Exactly.
So I actually, I want to start incorporating it into our set so I can just help with my breathing. Like if I'm hitting a part where like, damn, I need to take a breath now, just hit some inhales and then go again.
Just be an unstoppable vocal machine.
Yeah, I know a lot of people hate on it, but it's like it's another technique, and especially in slam, it's so awesome.
A technique is a technique. There is no wrong
exactly,
way.
Exactly, man, exactly. There's no wrong way of doing it at all.
If you're in complete control, then there's nothing wrong with it at all.
It still sounds brutal, so it doesn't matter.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Let's talk about this new record. I practiced it before, but I'm going to fuck it up. Pray Nuntius Infinity. I got it. Let's talk about this
you
new record.
It.
Pray Nuntius Infinity comes out
in
Unique Leaders on September 17th. It was mixed and mastered by my boy, Chris Donaldson, Cryptopsy's guitarist. He's one of the best in the world, so I'm very happy that you decided to work with him. Let's talk about that. Let's start with that. Why, how did you choose to work with Chris Donaldson on this record?
Yeah, man, like, he's just, like, worked on so many releases that we've listened to that we love as well. And when we were doing research for, like, producers for the new album, we gave everybody a shot, like, listening to stuff that they've done. And Chris's stuff was just the loudest and the heaviest out of everybody we checked. So we were like, we have to go with him. And after, like, the latest Ingested record, it really just sold us on it. And we were like, we have to go with it. And we done two tracks with him early in the year on a split that we done. It blew our minds. It made us sound so heavy and next level. So, yeah, Chris is the best.
Now you've done something very special with this record, which is basically break the metal internet. When it started happening, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And it was interesting. You know, we could basically say that it went viral. The scale of extreme metal.
Yeah.
With Bob, talk to me about how this all came together. I want the story of Bob. I don't know if you've spoken about this before. If you have, I apologize, but I'm definitely curious about how Bob started becoming what Bob the Butcher is now.
So pretty much, like, Bob appeared for the first time on our 2016 album Psychosadistic Design, and he was drawn by Aditya Wardana, this Indonesian guy, and we told him we wanted, like, a really gross looking killer for the album cover, and he came up with that image. And I remember the first time we saw it, we were just like, Bob, that guy, he looks like a Bob. So we just named him Bob. And when we released Psychosadistic Design, we'd done some like small memes with him that we released that done really well. And we were like, okay, he's become quite a character that people like. And then we done Mob Justice, which was the album after that in 2019. And it wasn't received as well. So we were like, we need to put Bob somehow into the album art, because it was also really hard to create memes out of the previous album art. Because it was just like these animals killing each other. So we're like, if we add Bob to the album art again, we can create memes out of him. And then we added him to the album art and started making some memes. And one night we just got the idea. We were like, what if Bob just started invading other album covers? And, you know, stealing things from people and doing all kinds of crazy things. And we're like, yeah, we can just make him, like, you know, his own page.
It's incredible.
And Facebook also has this new algorithm now where, like, the bands can, like, comment on each other's pages and everybody sees it. And it was never like that in the past. So
no.
I saw other bands just using it to, like, you know, send each other love. And we were like, no, we have to bring memes into this in some way. And that's pretty much how it kicked off. But he's become a character of his own now. And we're really, like, busy with the whole backstory now and his whole life story. And we're thinking of writing an album about it and everything. So, yeah, it's awesome.
That is awesome. That's really incredible. I run the podcast. I know how much time goes into doing social media. I can only imagine how much time goes into running this Bob character, socials, and the memes.
Right.
And, you know, you're busy with other bands as well. You got your clothing line, Crowd Kill, apparel running. I don't know. How do you do it?
Man, it's become really hard at the moment. Because we made the Bob page, and then I also made, because now he's dating Lady D, which is like a character from Resident Evil. So we decided, we saw there was no proper page for her, so we made a page, and now it's like the most liked page with her name. And yeah, we put them in a relationship together and just commenting on everything, you know, on Facebook alone takes the entire day for me. I have to always be at the computer and doing things, and it has to stay relevant. So, like, I have to stick to new album covers that are dropping and, you know, all kinds of things like that. So it does take a lot of time. But then I've tried to, like, move it on to Instagram and, like, YouTube and Twitter. And once you do that, it's, like, impossible to do anything. And I've started doing social media marketing now as a side hustle as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm running the Sorted to Prevail page and their social medias at the moment. And then I'm also doing it for a bunch of South African bands and just trying to bring the South African scene up with that social media presence as well. And now since I've seen, like, when I comment on stuff as the Volvadinia page, it summons all our followers to the post. So I've been using that to, like, also comment on, like, smaller bands from South Africa that have potential that I want people to see. So, yeah, I know it's been an awesome thing. And I feel like Bob's making a lot of people smile and just making them happy during the whole COVID thing. At one point last year, I couldn't even be on Facebook because of all the negative shit that was on there. So it's just nice seeing some shit that can make people laugh once.
I think it's just incredible. I think that, and I also think it's very incredible that, for the love of memes, you might eventually have a side hustle of running people's socials. This could become a job for you.
Yeah.
You know, while on tour with other bands, I think this is actually very interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. As a touring band, you need side hustles. You need mm-hmm. things, because how are you going to pay rent when you're off on tour? And exactly. So, like, for me, I have so many different side hustles, and, like, social media is one of them. And then, like, you know, the clothing brand. And then I've got guest features also pay mm-hmm. a lot of the bills. And, like, I've been trying to do lessons, but, you know, teaching vocals as well is such a hard thing.
Yes.
yes. But, yeah, no, you got to have side hustles. You have to if you want to do this full time.
It's very, very interesting. And teaching vocals is very difficult. And there are very, very talented people out there doing that, such as Extreme Vocal Institute. I'll give him a shout out right there.
Yeah, that, literally, he's the best at teaching, like, out of anybody I've seen. Really good. We had the pleasure of meeting him when we played the US for the first time.
Amazing. I just had him on. The episode will be coming up shortly. Shout out to David, your rule. Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. I'm interested in, you know, performing is such a big part of our lives. Being on stage, getting that connection with an audience is such a huge part of our lives. I'm very lucky I have the podcast to fill that void. Right before I sit down in this chair, I wonder, am I going to connect? Is this artist and I, are we going to become friends? Am I prepared enough? Am I going to fuck up? That is how I've been filling the void of performing. How have you been filling the void of performing?
Man, I feel like it was literally just this album that filled the void for us, because we were like, we can't do anything, and especially being in South Africa, our, like, visas are the weakest, and with the new variants coming from this side, we were like, we never know when we're going to, you know, hit the road again. So yeah, just doing the new album was that outlet, and also just catching up on new work and like also relaxing a bit, because our touring schedule was quite hectic before COVID hit. We were constantly on tour, and you know that takes a toll with like family life and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool to just catch up on that. But yeah, we haven't played a show since like 2019. So we did play some, like, I think two shows in December in South Africa, but because of the lockdown restrictions, it was like maybe 50 people maximum, and it's really not worth it because we're all in different cities, so it ends up costing more for us and whatnot. But yeah, no, we're dying to hit the road again and just go on tour. So hopefully, like, we're holding thumbs that this Ingested tour in March through Europe happens.
Yes, I love them. Love Ingested. Love Ingested so much. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'd like to go deeper into it. A Vulvodynia craft beer. Now, if you could choose what style of beer it would be and what would you call it, what would that be?
Okay, it would definitely be like a lager. And I wouldn't want it to be like fruity or anything. It's got I don't know, are they spicy beers? Are they spicy beers? There are,
you can have anything you want in the world of craft beer.
I would love to have a beer that has like Carolina Reaper in it or something that just burns the crap out of you, and then we would call it Satan Brew. I'll tell you why. Because the once we were on tour through Europe with Fit for an Autopsy, and we were on the ferry from France to the UK, and everybody took a chance to hit one of those like punching bag machines in the arcade. I hit the machine after everybody, and I hit 666 on the machine.
No. Did you take a picture?
We got it on video. And directly after I hit it, I look at the camera and I go, Satan Brew. So like, it'd be perfect for like the name of our beer. Because brew is also just such a popular term here for everybody just calling their bros brew. Hey, brew.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's why I said it, because it's like we say brew instead of bro. It's weird.
Really?
It's
funny. I did the flip-flop, 75% Baus de Creek à la Fue and the Cow Sur Raspberry. Let's see. It smells much more oaky off right away. Still the raspberry kicking.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, this is good. I like this better. Much more tart. It's like a palate scraper. Delicious. If Bob could have his own beer, what style of beer would that be and what would it be called?
Oh, okay. It would probably taste like vomit, like if you had to drink beer and then vomit it back up into the cup. And it would be like Bob's Vomit Brew or something like that. Yeah, he drinks all of the beer and vomits it out before it gets packaged.
Amazing. I will ask you one last question before I turn you over to the Thirsty Thursday gang that are with us here tonight, because this is being recorded live at a Thirsty Thursday hang. It probably doesn't happen too very often because you spend multiple hours doing social media, running a clothing line, singing in a bunch of bands, doing guest vocals, but every once in a while, and maybe tomorrow morning, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Oh, my hangover cure is like the oiliest meal possible. It has to be like an oily egg on like a burger, and it's just got to be greasy as fuck. Just any greasy meal is for me the best hangover cure, and a bong. Or a new beer. Just start drinking again. Usually on tour, that's the best hangover cure, is just we start drinking again.
That just delays the hangover and makes it much, much worse from experience. Duncan, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I'm going to open up the floor to the Thirsty Thursday gang. We have a lot of the Vox and Hops metal review crew here tonight. I don't know if any of you guys want to kick this off. Who would like to ask Duncan a question? We got Evan Welch.
Yo, what's up, Evan? How you doing, buddy?
Good evening, bro. Listen, I'm a big fan of what you've been doing on social media, so I'll just put that out there. It's been very entertaining and very fantastic. And I'm a very big fan of what you got coming out. And I wanted to know real quickly, what are some other bands coming out of South Africa that we probably should know about that probably don't get enough credit?
Yeah, dude, that's an awesome question, man. There's a band called Peasant that everybody should go and check out. Facing the Gallows is an awesome band. Bleeding Spawn, if you're into some brutal death metal. Displeased Disfigurement, Creating the God Form. Become the Watcher, go and check them out. Your Cynical Sanity. We've got so many awesome bands this side that don't get a lot of recognition. But off the top of my head, those are them. And like Fuck Off Police Car. And then I know everybody knows the answer.
It's always cool because obviously being part of the review crew, I'm constantly looking for those kind of bands, the bands that nobody doesn't know about. So definitely. Yeah, man. Like, love to hear that there's so many. Like, I find it awesome that there's just all these bands out there that nobody has any idea about, but they do fantastic in their local markets.
Man, it's super rad. Like, Africa especially is such a gem and like an untouched market. We got so many awesome bands here. And the thing is, like, if people don't go out there and give those bands enough love, they just lose the ambition to carry on, and then they end up breaking up. So, like, that's happened with so many bands previously. So that's why I want to just bring all these other bands up and make sure people check them out, because they're good and they're worth checking out.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Thanks, bruv.
Amazing. Up next, we have the host of the Beans and Breakdowns podcast. We got Grayson.
Beans and Breakdowns.
What's good?
There you go.
What's up, dude? Lekker, man.
Yeah. Oh,
everybody repping Gay Creeper.
That's for sure. We all love Gay Creeper over here. Gay Creeper and Fuming Mouth. Everybody has those shirts. Fucking okay. So the playlist that you guys have on Spotify, I love checking out band playlists on Spotify.
Yeah.
And y'all have that metal trap playlist.
Yeah.
Which I'm fucking all about some like weird horror trap shit. If you guys could collab or tour with some like horror trap, like City Morgue horror, you know, anything like that, what would be your number one choice?
For me, my number one choice would be either Brother Lynch Hung or 3-6 Mafia, because like they're like, you know, OGs for me and I love them so much. But then also City Morgue is like pioneering that stuff for me now, and like Ghost Mane as well. And I love all of those artists so much. And we just noticed that there wasn't a proper like trap metal playlist. And I actually have a side project which is in the vein of trap metal called Sinners. With me and my fiance. And we love it so much. So we were like, there isn't a proper playlist for this. We went and made the playlist, and it's doing so well at the moment. It's almost at like 1,900 followers without promoting. And I've put Sinners, our project, at the top. And that's actually gotten us almost like 2,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. So for anybody out there, if you're in a certain genre, like make a Spotify playlist for your genre and put your song at the top. Cool. And it's the quickest way to get a shit ton more like monthly listeners.
Very smart. Yeah,
it's fucking tight.
Very, very smart.
Cool.
Up next, we have Dervites, who's been having a hard time today with the technology.
Fuck technology. Always, I hate it. I hate it so much. My computer, I don't know why, each fucking Thursday, he's like, you know what? I will give you a hell of a time. Ugh, I hate it. Well, my question is like, I don't know if it was asked before, but the collab with Aborted, with Wayland, Wayland, how did it come to be? Like, I don't understand. Like, I saw Bob the Butcher because my friend showed me Bob the Butcher. I was like, okay, what is this? And then Wayland appeared from nowhere.
No, so what was happening was like, I know like Bob was doing super well and he was going super viral, and like at one point the hype started dying slowly but surely, and I needed some other form of way to keep fans invested. And like I said, I'm friends with Bradley, who like runs a lot of the socials for a lot of bands.
Yep. Shout out to Bradley Zorgdrecker. Yep.
Bradley! And he just let me know, like, dude, yeah, I want to do like a similar thing with Wayland. And I was like, yeah, we could get up to all kinds of antics with Bob. So, yeah, it was just so awesome. And like I said, now previously with Facebook, they've introduced this new thing where you can comment on certain posts and then it summons people to the post. So now having like Aborted and Volvadinia commenting on one post summons so many people onto the post and like brings a ton of, you know, views onto the content. So it's rad. No matter what we want to create, it's the fan base is there to check it out.
Very interesting. I think he actually got booted out again. His computer kicked him out. Poor Philip.
Shame, dude. But I feel like him, dude. Our internet's always bad, yeah, bro.
Yeah, but you are definitely always on the pulse of what's happening. It must be exhausting. Up next, we got Colby.
Woo, Colby.
How you doing?
How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, man. You?
I'm doing great, bro. Thanks, awesome. Man.
I got a question. I want to know if you can tell us more about the Butter Chicken Gang at all.
So like my go-to, yeah, Butter Chicken Gang. It actually hasn't been healing too well, sadly. I know finger tattoos don't heal too well. But yeah, Butter Chicken is my go-to food when I'm on tour, because I know when you're touring, you can only get fast food at a lot of places. Like you can only get McDonald's and shit like that. And when you live on McDonald's for like a week, you end up becoming gray. You turn into like a zombie.
It's true.
So like the first time we toured the US, we were like eating fast food all the time and it was just like killing us. And we found this Indian restaurant on the side of at a gas station, and we stopped there and I ordered butter chicken, and just like after eating that butter chicken, I felt rejuvenated. It was like a warm blanket of like energy just over me. And I was like, yeah, I'm only going to eat curry now on tour. And butter chicken isn't too spicy, so, you know, it's not going to mess up your stomach in the morning. So, yeah, I got Butter Chicken Gang tattooed on my fingers.
Freaking awesome, man. And being from South Africa, do you guys fuck with the Antwoord at all or no?
Yeah, no, we do. We like their music, just as people, not too much. But it's actually, in South Africa, it's Afrikaans, and it means the answer, and it's pronounced the Antwoord, like that. So, yeah, and it's always brought up because I feel like they're the biggest musicians that have come out of South Africa besides, like, Caesar. So they always get brought up. But, yeah, we fuck with their music.
Cool.
Who else here has a question for Duncan? Oh, Taylor, there you go for a bud.
Hey.
What's up, Taylor? What's
up, man? Yo,
how you
I'm
doing,
a
bro?
Huge fan, man. Not gonna
Thanks,
lie.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
I got a couple questions.
Yeah.
It's kind of debated online, but what do you consider your band Vulvodynia to be in a like a genre basis?
Yeah, I feel like we're always shifting genres, bro. Like when we started out with like the demo tracks, we wanted to go straight slamming brutal death metal. And then after the EP with Cognizant Castigation, we wanted to go in more of the slamming deathcore direction. Like we were heavily influenced by Ingested and Acrania when we started out. They were like our main influences. But I loved like, you know, all the old school slam bands as well. And I just wanted to incorporate the old school slam elements into it. And with Psychosadistic Design, that's why we brought back the demo tracks, because that was like our homage to slam for us. And we just thought about it, and it's like so hard to top that, because that's like our slam album. So when it came to writing the new album, we wanted to just incorporate like everything that we love doing. And now with our new guitarist, Luandile, like Luandile and Chris, they have their own side projects, Technopath and Xenopolis and the other things. It's all like prog. So we want to incorporate like prog elements and like all kinds of shit into it so that everybody can find something in it to enjoy.
Yeah, fucking, Psychosadistic Design is fucking
Yeah, dude.
Oh, and I blast that in the car every day. Oh, so my second
Thanks,
question is, would you consider making and selling Bob merch?
Yeah, man, definitely. That's going to be happening soon, definitely, like really soon, as soon as the album drops, because what we didn't want any Bob sales to like hurt album sales, so that's why we didn't really drop anything at the moment. But the moment the album drops on the 17th, we're going to drop like a special range of Bob merch, and there's going to be stickers and all kinds of shit. So yeah, just keep an eye out for that. And we're busy with all kinds of different designs with Bob as well, like in different scenarios and with different artists. So yeah, it's gonna be rad. There's gonna be like a Bob ring.
That sounds fucking cool. And my third question is, how did you learn exhale vocals?
Yeah, dude, for me, actually what I started doing is like, you know, when you warm your hands up, you'll do like that, like that type of thing. And yeah, for me, I realized that like to do my exhales, I would use, I know it sounds weird, but like I would use that airflow instead of the normal airflow that would come from my lungs. And I feel like that airflow is hotter because it's coming from deeper down, like in your diaphragm. So I would kind of just like, and then just add my voice onto that. And I remember the first time I discovered exhales, it was like somebody doing an exhale pig squeal. And I was like, how the fuck? Like I asked the dude, I was like, how do you do that?
And you told me you just go boy, so you just go boy, but in death metal style. So you'll start off with a low boy, and then you do the E boy, and then you got the pig squeal. So that's how I started out with exhales, and yeah, it just moved on from there.
The way I learned pig squeals was I took like a closed guttural, and then I just lifted my tongue and kind of drove it up.
Yeah. That's it, dude. Because wherever you can create the whistle, like if you're doing it with your tongue or with your throat, it doesn't matter, dude. Like it's as long as that wee is there. But boy, works perfectly for anybody else. Yeah. Trying.
My life is set that I got to talk with you today, man.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you, bro. It means the world to me. Thanks, bro.
Cheers. Rock on, dude. I love all your fucking shit. All of it.
Thanks, Taylor.
Amazing. Up next, we have Evan Welch from the Whispers from the Void podcast.
Hey, it's me again.
Yo, Evan.
Have you ever thought about expanding, like having another band in another genre, like say doom metal or something like that?
Yeah, like I've definitely thought about it. Like I know before Volvadinia started, I had millions of bands. Like I was just trying everything I could, like throwing as much shit at the wall until something sticks. And Volvadinia kicked off and done well. And then I done like Harvest Misery, for instance, and it was like an album that I really like pumped shit into, and it didn't do that well. So it made me realize like I'd rather spend time on like the projects that are already doing well and make music for those. But like I'd love to do something in like a different vein. But if I did, it would probably be covers and stuff like that, because finding a whole new band for a different genre is always such a nightmare.
Well, I feel like nowadays there's so many talented bands that are just one guy. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, the way with programming and things like that. Like I feel like you definitely have the voice and the talent. You could definitely do something of your own and just have programmed things. And
I need that, but when it comes to gear and like fucking sound engineering, all kinds of shit like that, I'm terrible. I'm the worst at it out of every member in the band. And everybody in the band is so good at it. Like they all have studios and like record other bands and stuff. And then I just like mention shit and everybody's like, oh, Duncan. So I'm like the typical vocalist, dude. Like I just carry shit. Like I don't know music theory and stuff like that.
Well, do you write lyrics for the band?
Yeah, at least I do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, and like with Pranuncius Infinity, like this new album, it was a nightmare, dude. I literally wrote like a novel's worth of lyrics for this new album. Wow. And like trying to piece like a book's worth of lyrics into 13 tracks was a nightmare for me. It was like so hard. And that's why I really hope like I chose the right sentences so that when people are reading the lyrics, they actually understand what the story's about.
real quick, what's your mindset when you're doing that, when you're writing those lyrics?
Oh man, I just try and escape, like, and just like with this new album, we were heavily influenced by like sci-fi horror and stuff like that. So I went and watched tons of sci-fi horror movies and stuff. And every movie I'd watch, I'd be like, oh, find some idea or something in the movie that I'm like, this is perfect. You know,
you watch like Lake Placid 3. Like Anaconda versus Crocodile or some shit.
Sharknado,
just Sharknado in space. Yeah.
We just like with this new album, we watched like a lot of like War of the Worlds and like Mars Attacks, and like just like we were also going for like cheesy sci-fi horror as well. And with those two new music videos we've done, we just wanted that to like show like just B-grade funny horror, bad effects and shit.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Amazing. Up next, we have Evan's partner from Whispers from the Void podcast, Philip.
Let's go with, if Bob the Butcher was a wrestler, what would be his entry song? And not the Volvodina song, because that would be
exactly. That's a good question. Fuck, what would it be? Probably be like Toto Africa. Toto Africa. I think that'd be perfect, because you know Bob.
Yeah.
And
let's do it.
I've walked in and he's smoking weed to that song, like hanging bitches and vomit and shit. He loves that song, dude.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I just imagined Bob the Butcher with Toto Africa. Perfect. Thanks, man.
Incredible. We got Brian.
Yo, hey, Brian. Man. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Two quick questions. Laca. First one, three current favorite albums or albums you listen to the most, and you get to pick a tour with five bands of any genre. It doesn't matter who you're going to go with.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's sick. The top three albums, like the new Mental Cruelty album, A Heel to Die Upon, like that is fucking amazing. I've had that on repeat. It's so underrated. Like, it really flew under the radar this year.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
And then, like, the Lost City Morgue album, which is like in the trap metal vein from last year, that's been on like repeat all the time. And then also the Last Ingested record. Like, the Last Ingested record is just like, yeah, game changing. Because also with Volvedinia, Ingested was like one of our main influences. So being able to tour with them next year is like such a dream come true for us. And like, it just seems so surreal. So yeah, the new Ingested album. The second one, what was it? Five bands that we would tour with, or what was it?
You could make it whatever, any genre. Doesn't matter. Just who would you want to play a show with? Five people or five bands.
Okay. Let's have an awesome show. Yeah. So it would be, let's say, Volvedinia. Okay. Abominable Putridity, if they were playing live, just because I want to hear Maddie Way just spit live. And then Cryptopsy. And then it would be Analepsy, because they're like one of my favorite slam bands and I know they're super underrated. And lastly would be Stillbirth. Also, like, really good friends of ours from Germany. They looked after us on our first European tour, and like every tour we've ever done with them has been amazing. So yeah, those five bands would be amazing. It would be brutal as fuck.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing. Up next, we have the metal architect himself, Jerry Monk. He curates the Brutal Awakenings playlists for Vox and Hops. He writes reviews for the Review Crew. Jerry, what do you got for Duncan?
Oh, yeah.
We were talking earlier about having to work with Chris Donaldson on writing the record, and I know probably with the massive time difference, would maybe down the road doing production in-house, kind of like some of those other younger bands like Brand of Sacrifice, Shadow of Intent, where they keep everything in-house and keep the costs down and can tour a little bit better.
Yeah, like what we've actually been talking to Chris, and like for the next album we do, we actually wanted to fly Chris out to South Africa and have him record the album with us here. And, you know, like, just oversee everything that happens in the album. And, like, man, that would be such an amazing idea to have a Cryptopsy tour around that.
Please. That'd be amazing.
And just have him down. Yeah, because, I mean, we're already flying him down, so why not just have that? It would help with costs and things, and then you guys can just see safari stuff.
It'd be fucking insane.
But yeah, no, we're really planning. We'd love to just, you know, take it to the next level. Either fly Chris down here or fly up to Chris and record, you know, with him in studio. And just, yeah, because we've realized that having everybody together, including the producer, just takes the album to the next level, because having the ideas bounce off of everybody is like the best.
Absolutely.
Agree.
And you and Chris in a vocal booth, working with Chris is like no one else. It's just the best experience you can ever imagine.
Man, I'd love it so much. I'd love it. Like, our drummer Tom recorded, he was like the engineer now when I was recording vocals for this album, and he was super hard on me. Like, but it was awesome, like, finally having that, because I know recording on your own, you don't have somebody to push you and be like, hey, redo that take and those type of things. So yeah, it's awesome, and I want that.
Chris is hard in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, exactly. It's because he wants the album to do well. So yeah, it's love. It's tough love.
Evan is back with another question.
I just keep coming back. I keep coming up with things.
What's up?
All right. Let's see. You're in a band, but it's not a metal band. What is it?
I'm in a band, but it's not a metal band. It is a jazz band. And I'm doing scat. I'm just like, boom, bam, boom. And, but I'm doing it in slam style. So I'm like, but I'm Bob. I'm Bob. And it's Bob scatting. And he's like, hey, guys. Yeah, so that's it. That's the answer to that question.
Amazing. Duncan, thank you so much for taking the time hanging out with me, the Thirsty Thursday gang. I got to give a shout out to Murray Fitzpatrick for hooking me up with a Vox and Hops baseball jersey. You guys have probably been seeing these circulate. Murray's been sending a bunch of these really cool baseball jerseys, hockey jerseys to metal musicians. Very, very cool of Murray to do that, and I really appreciate it. Everyone get ready. It's coming September 17th. Unique Leaders is releasing Praenuntius Infinity. Yeah. I'm stoked about it. You guys should be too. Duncan, thank you so much. Thirsty Thursday gang, I'm going to unmute you all. Let's make some freaking noise. Give Duncan a proper send off. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks for having me. Apologies, you guys are the best.
It's like moshing without being hurt.
Cheers to Bob.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, was this ever a very, very fun Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. Duncan was an absolute legend. He stayed up very late considering he was in South Africa and we were recording this during the night here in North America. It was a true pleasure to hang out with Duncan. He is a fantastic vocalist, and I am extremely impressed with everything that he's built on his social media platforms. It is very, very cool to see young people doing great things in this modern age. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcasts mailing list. You could do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I've dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, any pertinent information for any cool projects that I have in the works, as well as the updated links to any upcoming Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, and of course the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, and is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, I'd hate for you to miss a single thing, so sign up to that mailing list. I hope you have a glorious weekend. I know that I'm going to be having a great, great time because I will be at Beer Garden here in Montreal, which is a brand new traveling beer fest. Vox and Hops will be on site during the afternoon. If you see me there, come say hi. I will be recording some content for an episode which I will be dropping next week, and I invited my good friend Danny Marino, the very first guest of Vox and Hops, to come and be my co-host for the whole day. It's going to be an absolute blast. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I will be back next week with two episodes, one on Tuesday and another on Friday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe Grind Podcast.